Welcome to WitWorks Radio. This is Abby Pober from Co-ops and Careers, and I'm here today with two fantastic colleagues, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kristen Edwin. I'm the Operations Coordinator at Co-ops and Careers.
And I'm Mary Kalinowski, Co-op and Career Advisor here at WitWorks. And today we're talking about networking.
Why would we be talking about networking, Rhea?
It's very important.
And did you just have a career fair?
I think so.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so what is networking?
Networking is using your existing network to create new connections and gain more knowledge about industry standards and requirements, career paths, company culture, types of jobs, whether jobs are available, and just gaining getting a leg up in your career path.
What if I don't have a network?
You don't think you do, but you do. Do you know people?
Maybe.
If you know people, then you have a network, because anyone can be part of your network.
Interesting.
Yeah, and as a WitWorks student, especially, you definitely have a network, because you go to classes, and so professors can be part of your network. As a student of WitWorks, you're connected to the institution, and so any alumni can be considered part of your network as well. All your fellow students are part of your network, and all of your family members, people you meet, in the street, the people that you, people in your neighborhood, to quote Sesame Street. but anyone can be part of your network. It's just making sure that you are communicating with them about your, co-op search, your job search, asking them questions, asking who they know, because often you know people. And they may know people that you don't know, but would be beneficial for you to know.
So how do you start maybe a casual conversation in the beginning and then realize that this person may be a useful career connection? How do you make that switch? Because you want to be professional all the time, but how do you then maybe ask them for help in a job search or maybe for their own connections?
It depends on a lot of different factors, like who you're talking to, where you're talking to them. If you're approaching professors, they're always willing to help, and maybe just going into their office hours or making an appointment to get insight into different aspects of the career field that you're interested in, see if they know anyone they can connect you to. If you're at a professional event, like a conference or the career fair, just having the confidence to go up to someone and introduce yourself, and practice is really important for that. Having something kind of planned out in your mind to say to introduce yourself and the relevant things that people will care about when thinking about your career.
So why is networking important? Like, why do I need to talk to these people?
Yeah, sure. You can go through your career and, apply on job boards and send your resume out. And people get jobs that way. But, there are studies that show that 70% of people get positions they do because of networking.
70%?
Yeah, and it's way quicker, too. So, if you know someone, then you're able to get your resume in front of the hiring manager a little bit easier than someone who's just applying blindly through a job board. And also, in this day and age, there's a lot of software that is actually the first gatekeeper for when you submit your resume. So instead of actually getting to a human, you have to get past the applicant tracking system, which scans your resume for keywords and may not pick out the best person for the job, if that's you, but it could just, it spits out a certain number of resumes that then the hiring manager looks at. So getting around that is key.
I actually have a really relevant story for this. So my partner, Benj, he got a job by coming to the career fair here as an alumni. But the thing that he had done prior to attending the career fair was he had actually seen the job that he had seen the job on Indeed or something of that nature, and he applied through Indeed or whatever. And then the company signed up for our career fair, and he decided to come and follow up in person rather than sending an email. And because he came and followed up in person and actually talked to the folks who were hiring, his resume was brought back to the hiring manager. It turns out the hiring manager had actually already seen his resume, but because somebody at the fair had spoken with him and could really speak to his ability to understand the concepts, they took another look at his resume because his resume didn't match like their keywords identically.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about that a lot now, realizing how important it was for him to go follow up in person.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, the way that hiring works in this day and age, because there are so many people searching for jobs, is that human resources representatives can't typically look at every single resume that comes across their desk or through their system. So that's why a lot of, especially bigger companies, have started using applicant tracking systems to kind of weed through the hundreds and hundreds of resumes and applications that they do receive to get to, you know, the top 20 or top 50 even to look through. And unfortunately, it's like I said, it's not always that they're the best fit, it's just that they match those keywords from the resume.
And a little side plug, Rhea actually wrote a fantastic blog on how to get your resume past applicant tracking systems, and that is on our What's Happening page.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, but networking is actually the best way to get past the ATS because, you know, creating that network and gaining, you know, relationships and helping people in the industry and having them help you is a much better way to go through the hiring process.
So is there anything else that you can gain from networking besides just getting a job?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so say you're a sophomore or even a freshman here at Wentworth and you're trying to figure out, you know, where you want to take your career path. Definitely, you know, networking is a good way to kind of find a co-op, and a co-op is a way to learn about the industry, but additionally, you know, to gain a little bit more insight into like various company cultures or, you know, where you might want to see yourself when you graduate, you know, speaking with people is a really great way to do that. So, for example, say I'm a software computer engineering student. I'm not sure whether I really want to go into software or hardware, and so I do an alumni search on LinkedIn. And I pick out a few people that I'm really interested in connecting with, you know, in either key companies that I'm interested in or with key job titles that I'd really be interested in exploring, and, you know, reach out to connect with them and write a note saying, you know, I'm a student at Wentworth and I'm really interested in learning more about the industry. Do you have like 20 minutes to have a conversation? That's called an informational interview. And that's a really great way to learn more about someone's particular career path, or, you know, what you would need to do as a software to get to where they are today. You know, what if there are any particular skills or certifications that you would need to have in order to get there, or what their company culture is about. So there really is a wealth of information that you can gain from that type of networking. And when you know, if these people do respond to you, and you know, you send me about 12, and you get two people who respond, but they do. Then and you talk with them, and at the end, you ask them, you know, do you know of anyone else in this field or someone similar that I can speak to? And that's the way you start to kind of grow your network. And if this is something that you're doing as a freshman or sophomore, then think of how many connections you'll have by the time you graduate and you're doing that full-time job search, and making sure you're staying connected with these people throughout your college career. And so that you can kind of call back to them and say, hey, remember me, I'm really interested still in your company, or even if they've left that company and gone to another company, they still have those connections. So, you know, continuing those conversations is a really great way to start building your network for like kind of long-term plan.
Sure.
Absolutely. And I actually did a few informational interviews as a sophomore. It was very daunting to reach out to alumni. I actually went through a professor at the time and asked for specific contacts that were really engaged and still are. They would come back to campus, they would do workshops, and I met them in person at one of the events that was through school. So it was a little less pressure than just sending out blind messages on LinkedIn, which I also did. Didn't have much luck with that. But so I met an alumni at a workshop that was held by, I went to Emmanuel, so it was held by Emmanuel, the business department, and I met her in person, and I said, "Hey, I would definitely like to ask you a few more questions about this. We met at Starbucks. We had a nice 20-minute conversation, and I found out that I was not interested in her field."
Yep.
But instead of going through the whole internship process in a field that I didn't really have a lot of interest in, I found out a shorter 20-minute time span. So it was definitely very, very beneficial. And then I found the industry that I am in now through internships that I figured out after that conversation. But definitely, I mean, co-ops, of course, are your first experience, I'd say, in the field. But if you're not sure what field to go in after you choose your major, definitely just asking those professionals first.
Yeah, and you can either
their experience.
Yeah, and you can even do informational interviews with professors to get an idea of what they do. So it really is a really great way to kind of gain advice, and people are really willing to give advice. You know, I've actually did a lot of informational interviews to get where I am today, and was recently contacted by from my alma mater. I was happy to meet with him and do informational interview as, you know, the flip side. So, yeah,
that's great. That's really great. I had a question and I totally forgot it.
Yeah.
Well, what are, so we've talked a lot about the importance, but what are ways that students and alumni can, what are avenues for networking?
Yeah, well, the career fair, like you mentioned, is a really great opportunity for people to network. If you attended the most recent career fair, it's really important that you follow up with those people that you met to continue that networking. Hopefully you've got business cards. When you spoke with people, and then sending just, you know, a thank you email right after the career fair, even now, even though it was a week or so ago, exactly a week actually, is fine to do, and you know, just remind them of something you spoke about. You know, it was a pleasure meeting with you at the Wentworth Co-op and Career Fair, you know, I recently applied to the position you posted on WitWorks, and I'd love to here, you know, see where you are in the hiring process, or you know, gain more insight into the position. So doing that follow-up is really important, and attending career fairs. You know, we have other events that are coming up. We have a hackathon coming up in a few weeks with Rocket Software, actually right here on campus. So any aspiring software developers or anyone just interested in coding in general should think about attending that. It's a free weekend-long event that'll be here on campus, and there'll be marketing material about that.
Yeah, I'm actually working on that. That's going to print now.
Great.
So we're getting ready for that. I think one thing that people tend to forget about is the value of attending a conference. There's lots of conferences, and they're usually open to students, which I think is fantastic.
And they're cheaper.
And they're cheaper or they're free, and I never took advantage of that, and I kind of wish I had, but now in my professional life, I get to go to conferences all the time. And one thing, I'm a huge introvert, and I have a hard time initiating conversation. I have a hard time approaching somebody that I don't know. So one way that I do this is I actually push myself far outside my comfort zone, and instead of talking to people, I present to them. But what that's often facilitated is conversations where they come up to me, and then I make a connection that way, because they're talking to me about something that I'm really comfortable with, I found that to be a really kind of effective way to network. It's not a low-key way. You're really putting yourself out there, and you have to feel confident that you can share information when you're presenting at these types of things. But there's no reason I think that students can't present if the conference is relevant and they have the skills to add in the information.
Yeah, and joining professional associations or even clubs on campus is another great way to network and actually get to conferences. Because often, like, a club will go all together. I know the Society of Women Engineers attends conferences all together, which can be a less daunting way of going. If you go with a bunch of people you do know, it's kind of your support group. So IEEE has conferences. NSBE has a conference coming up tomorrow, actually. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of different professional associations that you can join and then be connected with. I was just helping a senior. He is interested in relocating to Seattle, Washington for his full-time job, and he is a member of IEEE, and so I pointed him in the direction of the Seattle chapter of IEEE. So there are different kind of areas or pockets of these professional associations that you can kind of tap into if you are considering kind of moving out of state, or you know, where we may not have as many resources from Whitworks. I had another student in my office actually just today who's looking for positions in Plymouth, New Hampshire. And what I recommended he do is go onto LinkedIn and do a search of alumni in that area. And we were actually able to find a few companies that he hadn't tapped into yet. And so he can network a few ways, so reaching out to that alum directly, and or you know, calling the company to see if they have any openings, even if they don't have anything posted. So I'm doing some of that cold calling to see if there's opportunities is important as well.
I want to talk a little bit more about career fair too, because I have a pretty valuable story for that as well. Because I hear a lot of students say like, oh, I don't need to go to the career fair. Why would I go to the career fair? Like, I already have a job, or I'm going to work for my family's company. But you might decide, you might go to that co-op and decide, this isn't what I want to be doing, and you want to work for another company. And I really, when I entered college, I had no idea what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, any of that stuff. So I started going to the career fair my freshman year. It was September of my freshman year, and the first time I went, I just kind of went and walked up and was like, hey, I'm a first-year student. I'm really just here to get a feel for what the career fair is like and kind of understand the types of companies that come to our school. And I talked to this one company that I ended up going back to every single career fair thereafter for the entire 4 years that I was in school. And in the culmination of that, at the end of my senior year, we were working on a big case study project for this organization. And that recruiter came back and actually judged our presentations. So I had seen this person at every career fair prior to that. And then presented an idea to her, and I applied for the job that would be hiring for that following summer after graduation. I got a call right away to get an interview. I came in, and I also got the job. And I know for a fact that it was because I had saw that person so many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important to build those relationships, you know, starting early in your career, because it gives you an opportunity to kind of grow them as well.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, I think, I don't want to hear you saying that you don't need to go to the career fair, because everybody needs to go.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a couple minutes to see what it's about and say hi to somebody you knew from your job. Mm-hmm. I think that's a valuable way of maintaining those connections. I think we should take a break and then come back and talk about LinkedIn and a couple of other things.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right.
Looking at you. Oh.
we're back to talk about more networking, LinkedIn, and other oddities.
Yeah, and I want to actually start with my own networking story. So here I am, a co-op and career advisor at Wentworth, which is my dream job, and I got here through networking, believe it or not.
Tell me more.
Okay. So I graduated from Skidmore College in upstate New York, and was going along my merry way doing some jobs that I wasn't particularly thrilled with when I found out about a networking event that Skidmore was having in Boston. And so even though I myself am an introverted person, also terrible at networking and speaking with people I don't know, forced myself to go to this event. And they had a higher education career services kind of table. And so I went and talked to a woman who had graduated from Skidmore as well. And you know, just happened to be working in career development over at Northeastern. And so I spoke with her and she told me about opportunity for an internship, and I chatted more with her, and you know, ended up, you know, not doing that internship at the time, but I stayed connected with her, and did a bunch of other informational interviews in that kind of arena, career development, guidance counseling type arena, and landed a volunteer position at Brandeis University. So I was volunteering there while working a full-time job, you know, that helped me get, I was working in Wellesley Public Schools as like a teaching assistant. So not really what I wanted to be doing, but you know, having that volunteer experience on my resume helped me land a career development position at another school. So it's going on and doing that. I was so excited to be there when my position was eliminated and I got laid off. So then I got a different job, and while I was doing that, I reached back out to my alumni friend from Skidmore working at Northeastern. Sorry, this is a long story.
Yeah.
A long, convoluted path. But I ended up volunteering there as well. So some informational interviews, some attending of networking events, some volunteering. That all kind of got me the experience that I needed to apply for and be successful when landing this role.
Yay. Yeah, so everyone's path is different. I think that's what I get from that, definitely. Mm-hmm. I also got this role through networking. I actually started as the Co-ops and Careers marketing intern and learned about my current position before it was even posted on any job boards. So I had the insider scoop there and actually applied, I'm pretty sure, before anyone else had. But I kept in contact with my supervisor, who is actually very fortunate to be sitting next to you right now. and really, I kept in contact with her. I was asking her questions. I think I even had her look over my cover letter.
You did.
But so really, don't be afraid to ask questions. And like Rhea mentioned, it's always important to keep up with those contacts that you have. Because there are always certain people will always be looking to help you along your journey.
Right, and as you go on your co-op, and I know we've got juniors kind of finishing up with their spring co-op right now, I know you're listening, you know, make sure to stay connected with those people that you're working with at this co-op, because you never know, even if it doesn't turn into a fall co-op, maybe it's something that you can pursue for a full time, or maybe they know of someone who you could connect with for another type of position. So it's really important to kind of keep those connections alive and connect with those people. And you know, maybe you stumble upon an article in a few months that reminds you of them. You know, send the article to them and say, hey, just was thinking of you, this reminded me of you, or your company, how are you doing? You know, just kind of checking in and reminding them that you are, you know, out there and someone up and coming in the industry. So yeah, it is important to kind of make those connections and build up your network as you're going along, because LinkedIn is a really key resource, especially for the full-time job search. A lot of recruiters use it to search for talent. So it is important to, you know, have those connections, because the more connections, the more relevant connections you have, the higher you show up in searches, actually, when recruiters are looking for someone specific for a role. So you know, adding those people as you close out your co-op is really important.
So we had a work study student or an office assistant the other day say to us in the front lobby, I don't even know why I would need a LinkedIn. I don't know what it's for. Our own office assistant.
They have one now.
They do.
Oh, good.
They do. Yes, we help them.
And we have a LinkedIn guide, so if you want to check it out for help setting up your profile.
But so you just talked about all the valuable things that can happen when you have a LinkedIn, but what goes on your LinkedIn and why do you want it?
Sure. Yeah, so the first thing is your headline. And a lot of people make the error where they just use the default headline. So for someone at Wentworth, it would be student at Wentworth Institute of Technology. There are over 4,000 students at Wentworth Institute of Technology. So if you want to stand out and be unique, at least add your major so that you are electrical engineering student at Wentworth Institute of Technology, which narrows it down slightly. But if you can add like a few of the skills that you're known for or your career aspirations or like a significant project that you've worked on, you have a lot of characters available in that headline. And that headline is the most searchable part of your LinkedIn profile. So it's really key to use that to its advantage. Search other people in your field just to get an idea of example headlines to see what other people are putting. And then your picture is key. And actually at the Corporate Career Fair just last week, we had a LinkedIn photographer. And those pictures will be sent out in a month or so. But you'll get those professional pictures to put up on your LinkedIn. And that's really important too, because profiles with photos get clicked on way more frequently than profiles without photos. So definitely make sure that you add a professional photo to your profile. The next piece is, I mean, how long do you want this to be?
I think that you're kind of drilling down to, that you're like going down the profile, but I think that that's really important because there's so many, I mean, it's more than just a resume, because I think so many people think that LinkedIn is just an internet resume, or a big resume.
Enhanced resume.
And it is an enhanced resume, but once you get, like, this headline is really important. I think the summary can be really important because it can
get... And that gives you an opportunity not only to list the skills and experience that you have, but also what you're passionate about. And I think that that is really key right now, to kind of tell your story and how you arrived at where you are, why you're interested in where you want to be, because it makes you more personal and you have a way better opportunity to kind of make yourself unique and tell your story. I mean, people, you know, they do the search and they click on search your profile, but if you catch them, their interest with, you know, something from your summary about how passionate you are about robotics, because when you were in third grade, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then they're more apt to, you know, read more about you and actually get to the next piece, which is that experience that you have, and then, you know, look at the projects that you hopefully have listed there, it makes more of an impact.
I think that's my favorite part on LinkedIn now, that you can link to like actual projects. So if you have a digital portfolio, you
definitely
can link to specific examples. Or for me, I have like websites that I built in my previous job, so I can actually just link to that at the bottom of my experience, and that really changed the game when LinkedIn brought that update, I think.
Yeah, you can add media into your experience section. You can add it into your summary. So it's really important to take advantage of that, yeah, especially if you have a GitHub or if you have a website that you want to highlight, or if you've made any really great projects or presentations. It's a nice way to kind of add that kind of dimension to your profile.
I think it's also too, and I struggle with this. I don't do very well with this piece, but I see it happening more and more and more when I log into LinkedIn. Is that I don't want to call this a professional Facebook because it's not. But people are interacting, they're sharing stories, they're sharing their expertise, they're writing blogs into the published section of LinkedIn, and they're kind of making, well, it's part of your personal brand. It's one of the easiest ways to establish your personal brand, I think, is on LinkedIn. And so I think it's important, I'm challenging myself this year to try and interact more on LinkedIn, and I think that it's going to become more and more important.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. One of the early aspects of the LinkedIn algorithm of people who show up higher in search results is your activity. And so, you know, liking and commenting on posts and actually, you know, posting things yourself and publishing, you know, articles is really a key part of that interaction. Joining groups, you know, commenting on, you know, message boards of those groups and is important as well.
I didn't know that.
I've seen also too, I mean, we can use LinkedIn as you're searching for jobs, and sometimes employers will post a job on their page, but sometimes other connections might just share links to job posts that you can't really search.
Yeah.
So if you are a part of that group and sometimes links are being shared, look out for that.
Yeah, a good group for especially Wentworth students to join is the, what is it called?
Well, we have a Wentworth alumni group.
Yes. The Wentworth Alumni and Career Group.
Yes.
Which is really important. There's, I think there's over 3,000 people in that, and there's a lot of not only alumni but employers have joined that group as well. And so that's a great place to look for job postings and connect with alumni, because you know, you can't directly message someone in your, unless you're a first degree connection or unless you pay for the premium account, which you should never do. But you can directly message someone if you're in a group with them. So if you're in that group with someone, with an alum, and you don't want to connect with them, but you want to directly message them, you can do so.
And one thing I do want to, our director actually manages that group specifically, and she will post jobs that are sent directly to her that say, we're looking for alumni. So especially you soon to be graduating electromechs and architects who are graduating this April, and then the August graduates, you really want to be part of that group, because even if it's not relevant for you now, maybe in 5 years down the road, there's going to be a really competitive job that gets posted to that group directly. So that's it. I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah, and you can join groups of things that you're interested in to see what people in that industry are talking about. You can look up company pages and see, you know, what's what they're talking about, you know, and that's a really great way to research them going into interviews. So LinkedIn is actually a really great resource. They actually added a new feature where you can search the people who work at a certain company. So if you go onto their company page, there's a people tab that you can search, just like the alumni tab on school pages.
I think it would be really powerful too, especially if you're, Wentworth has a lot of great jobs for the Boston and regional area, and we're working hard every day to pull more jobs from a national level in, and from a greater regional level even. But thinking about LinkedIn as a powerful search tool to find jobs outside of your area, like if you want to move to Seattle or you want to move to San Francisco or Austin, Texas, wherever you want to be, I think that LinkedIn is a great way. Even if you're not applying for jobs through LinkedIn, you can really drill down and see, like, okay, are there any alumni that I can reach out to in that area that I can start having conversations about informational interviews maybe, or that sort of thing, or just asking them what it's like to work for, I'm thinking Dell, because I know Dell has a location in Austin, Texas. I don't know if we have alumni there.
We should.
I'm sure we do. But so I think that that's a great way to kind of help you expand your job search, because those search tools are so powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you need help, you know, figuring out how to search on LinkedIn or crafting a note when you want to connect with someone, see your Corporate Career Advisor, and they can help you get a better grasp of that type of stuff.
So we just went through a lot of networking tips and tools. How do you stay organized when you're reaching out to all these different people on all of these different platforms?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is nice because it does keep a list of your connections, and but it's also a good idea to kind of keep a spreadsheet. If you meet someone at a conference, you know, just jot their name down, their position, you know, something you spoke about, or you know, their or you know, where you met, and then, you know, set a reminder for yourself, maybe like three to four months down the road, to reach back out to those people just to reconnect.
Definitely. And I like to take business cards and write a little note about the person's appearance, because I'm very visual, and that'll help me jog my memory that way.
That was the best piece of networking advice I ever got when I was an undergrad, and I still use it today.
That's cool. I never thought of that.
Yeah, it's a really good, because it kind of gives you that, it also gives you a reminder of that moment in time, so you can almost bring yourself back from that muscle memory of like, oh, I turned around from that person and I wrote a little note. Like, and I try when I do that to keep a note about what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little tiny thing, like, oh, we talked about, even if it's like the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a perfect little piece to make yourself stand out in that follow-up note. Hey, if you were talking about the Red Sox, mention the game.
Opening day in a few days.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important when you do follow up that it's not just like, hey, I'm following up.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that
make it relevant.
Yeah. Did you like me? That's not going to go over well.
No.
But saying something like, I really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you have a great time and opening day. The weather looks beautiful. Whatever. All right. Well, I think that we're almost out of time. So I think this was pretty comprehensive.
Yeah.
We're always in the office. We talk about networking.
Oh, yeah.
And we're always planning ways for students to try and network with employers. So in addition to our regular events, we're always trying to find new opportunities to bring employers to campus, which includes this Rocket Software Hackathon that Rhea spoke about at the beginning of the episode. So Rocket Software is gonna be on campus on April 13th and 14th. It's a Saturday and Sunday, so that weekend. It's gonna start at 9:30 a.m. in Ira Allen, and it's more than 24-hour hackathon. They're gonna be here until 2:30 p.m. on that Sunday. And it's gonna be open to more than just Wentworth students, but we hope to see a lot of Wentworth students there. So if you're part of Computer Science Society, you've already received an email. The Computer Science Department Chairs, I believe, have already sent one out about this. Advisors have sent specific emails to targeted majors, and our department itself will be sending out an email with a link to register for that. But you're also gonna see, you should see flyers up around campus already and A-frames coming up pretty soon. But at the beginning of that week, so on April 8th, we also have Dyson coming to campus. So Dyson will be hosting a rapid prototyping workshop. And we're going to be hosting that event in conjunction with Accelerate in the Accelerate space. And the workshop is actually to help you come up with some ideas so that you can present them or submit them, enter them into the James Dyson Award, which is a contest. And the grand prize is $35,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you attend this, so you don't have to attend the workshop to enter the contest, but by attending the workshop, you should be able to get a little leg up because you're going to get to talk to actual Dyson representatives about the contest. They're going to do a little presentation about what it is and what they're looking for, and then they're going to sit down with you. They're bringing supplies. They're bringing arts and crafts stuff to kind of walk through this concept of rapid prototyping. And there's going to be a Wentworth alumni there, actually.
Nice.
So I think that's going to be a fantastic event.
Fantastic. Networking, appreciate
it. Absolutely. 100%. Even if you don't want to enter the contest, but you want to meet somebody from Dyson, you should go to this event. And you might learn something about design thinking or rapid prototyping. These are all concepts that are outside my world. So I'm not sure I'm even describing it very well.
I'm sure it's perfect.
Maybe.
I'm interested.
I want to enter. I don't think I can.
No.
I have any ideas for it anyways. Is there anything else? I'm sure, do we have Wentworth on the Road coming up? Nothing planned yet?
Nothing set in stone, but it will be during that break between between semesters.
Okay.
So look out for announcements on that.
What else, Rhea?
That's about it.
Drop-in hours are going on until the end of the semester, so we only host drop-in hours when classes are in session. Those are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
1:30 to 4.
Hope I'll see you there. Stop by, come say hi. All right, everyone, have a great week.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.